Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, October 3rd, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the Sonic the Hedgehog superfan, a.k.a. the fighting game expert, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Good morning, Greg. I like this shirt.
Thank you.
What is this patch?
This is Mill Valley Pasta. Pasta Man, of course, is going to come through at some point and feed Andy mac and cheese. We're still working on that detail.
Has Andy never had mac and cheese?
He's never had mac and cheese.
It's very fucked up.
It is very fucked up. You know what I mean?
Terrible.
But then anytime you try to call him on it, he's like, he tries to call cultural differences, and you got to stop.
What, they didn't have mac and cheese in Texas? I'm pretty sure that was like the South is big on mac and cheese.
You know, hey man, I'm not saying, you know, I'm out of this one.
I'm Nigerian and I'm mac and cheese.
I'm not saying anything. I don't see color or it's just, I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
It's the colorful world we live in. You're supposed to see color.
Do I see it or not see it? What do I do?
Speaking of cultural differences, actually, this morning I listened through a Taylor Swift album for the first time ever. Yeah, a full album.
Where did you start?
The Midnights album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
what'd you think?
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good. I was surprised because, like, I'm somebody who's I've liked the Taylor Swift singles back in the day when she dropped Love Story and You Belong
sure.
with Me.
Like, yeah,
I,
of course, yeah,
I
yeah.
jammed out to those.
Yeah,
I liked Bad Blood. I like that Bad Blood song.
Yeah, yeah, good.
But like from there, it kind of tempers out in terms of my Taylor Swift interest.
Sure.
And this morning I was listening to a podcast, like a music podcast, and talking about like. Oh, yeah, like, I'm not usually a Taylor Swift person, but I really like this Midnights album. And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. And you know what? I liked it.
Okay,
I liked
it a lot. That's a big success over here. I'm proud of you. That's
great. I appreciate it. Where would you say I should go from here if I liked that album, the Midnights album?
Wow. What a great question. I would think, honestly, you should go to Reputation then, because I feel like the folky stuff isn't going to go with you, right? Like
probably not.
Yeah, no. You got to stay away from folklore and Evermore. And so at that point, yeah, I would say go to Reputation and see what you like. Because that's one I don't like. Reputation is like my least favorite, but I know it's got an audience for it. And it was very more like experimental, probably more like newy, whatever.
It's like newy. More poppy?
No. It was a way.
Why didn't you like it?
I think it wasn't poppy enough for me. It was more like, and I don't know what we define as pop anymore. It wasn't like. Mm. Love Story pop, right? Like Lover comes after that, and I think that's a great album that I like a lot. 89 is my favorite album, but again, like, yeah, 89's got tracks on it that I think are reminiscent of Midnight in a way. You know what I mean?
Okay, because I think I like the fact that Midnight almost feels like it has a darker tone to it.
Yeah,
you know, it's a bit more subdued.
Yeah,
and like it's very much like emotional.
I should have started here then of why you like Midnight. That would been, this would have been. Don't do Reputation then. No,
don't do Reputation.
I don't think. I'd try 89. Do 1989 for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll write that down.
Okay, thank you.
Is there a single off 89 that I would know?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, look at it right now. You got Spotify open, but 89. Shake It Off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah,
that's a good song.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift 89.
No.
Okay, I'm gonna add that to my liked albums.
Thank you.
The first thing that pops up is a Kanye West album, 808s and Heartbreak.
Oh, we don't connect them. We don't connect them anymore.
Oh,
all right.
Why would they do? Why would
that
Spotify
was
do that?
That was it. I told you all the fucking day it happened.
Oh, I misspelled
as
Swift.
As soon as it fucking happened, I said this Kanye West guy's bad news, and everybody told me I had it wrong. Everybody said I had it
there
wrong.
There you go. 1989. Listen, I came around to that.
Yeah, but I was telling you all a long time ago.
Once he started going down the Nazi route, I was like, okay, maybe he's not the best guy. Maybe he's not the best.
I do gotta back off this. Oh, I do gotta back off this a bit.
All right, yeah, shake it. Oh, blank. I know Blank Space.
Yeah.
Blank Space is pretty good. All right, I'm gonna add this. I'm gonna add this to my albums.
Yeah, give it a shot. And if you're like, and if this one gets going, you're like, oh, this isn't, it's too thin or something like that.
Yeah.
Then I would say try Reputation.
Reputation.
Yeah,
okay.
Jump in there, because then just see that can balance between it or whatever.
Fair enough. I appreciate
it. For now, though, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about the fact there's job cuts at Naughty Dog. Boomerang X's developer is shutting down and more because this It's Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show by writing in for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions, comments, concerns about the day's news, and of course, give us your squad up requests. Then tune in live to watch us record the show on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. If you want to go that extra mile and get the best version of Kinda Funny, period, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over there, of course, you can get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free. Of course, you can get all the podcasts ad-free. You can watch us record the other podcasts live as we record them, with notable exceptions, like, of course, the fact that, you know, we're doing an embargoed games cast today where we're reviewing Assassin's Creed Mirage, and you can get that tomorrow. And of course, you could also get more than 300 bonus episodes. I believe Barrett's switching us into Halloween Live.
Yeah, I'm playing around with like hue, like shifts and stuff. I don't love it, but
I thought this was another gaslighting thing where somebody was going to tell me that these were always the KHD colors.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did we start doing purple? You know,
Barrett was like, all right, we're going live in 3, 2. By the way, I didn't have the Halloween intro. I'll have it tomorrow. Yeah. 1. Click the button. So
I just programmed the Halloween intro, so we'll have it tomorrow.
There's no one's throwing shade your way. I'm just.
I appreciate that we're going with the.
I started to change. I was like, I know what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's doing.
And I'm throwing shade my way because you asked me yesterday to do it, and then I forgot. So
sure. Yeah. We should get Skelly on set for this, too.
Skelly!
Yeah, Patreon, though. Do all that stuff. It's great. It keeps the lights and mics on. Keeps us all employed. Keeps us independent. We couldn't thank you enough for it. Of course, let's get some housekeeping out of the way. There's a new Kinda Funny podcast up right now featuring the artist formerly known as Comic Book Girl 19. That's right. Danica herself comes on by to talk about the fact that Akira is still fucking awesome all these years later and how she is making a documentary about it. You go to youtube.com/kindoffunny to catch that episode right now, or get the Kinda Funny podcast on podcast services around the globe. Right now, of course, you can still get your Shoe for President shirt. PlayStation needs a CEO and president that is amazing. That knows the Vita is awesome and can lead us to our greatest days with the PlayStation Portal. That is Shuhei Yoshida. You can go get your Shoe for President shirt right now on kindoffunny.com/store. Remember, this is a limited time drop. We have looked into it, and they legally can't sue us if we get it down within a week.
Is that how that works?
It is going away on Friday.
Is that okay?
You know how slow lawyers are. So right now, somebody at PlayStation is like, they're doing this is bad. They're using the PlayStation court for president.
Then you go to the website, it's like, there's nothing there. And the judge is like, there's nothing we can do.
You see this fucking shit about Trump?
No.
He didn't check a box for a jury trial, and he got all mad that he didn't have a jury and tried to blame the court system. They're like, you didn't check the box, you idiot. Yeah,
it's your court system. Why don't you, the president? Get it together. Go on.
Over on Patreon, there's a brand new episode of the Kinda Funny Next Gen podcast up. The description's been removed, but it's what did you put yesterday? It cracked my shit up. It was like, Barrett figures out his life, for Barrett has a...
Oh, yeah, Barrett is entering a new era of life.
Yep. And it's a threat.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, who, of course, get to enjoy this show ad-free on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Jedi Master Deadpool and Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Rocket Money, Shady Rays, and DoorDash, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report.
Time for some news.
5 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Not news, but in the live chat, Guitar Hero Arrow says, who's the lead reviewer on Assassin's Creed Mirage? Barrett?
It's me.
That's right, Barrett Courtney, the man who reviewed all the Assassin's Creed games.
A rare Barrett Courtney lead review.
Well, when you know, Barrett is a man with very specific talents, all right? So if there's a goddamn Psychonauts game or an Assassin's Creed game, he's dropping
maybe
it.
Maybe even a Persona.
Definitely a Persona.
Are me and Barrett going to have to fight over Persona 3? Or who gets to review that?
No, I told you this the other day. When Persona comes around, I would love for you to review it. Because you'll be the fresh eyes on that story in that game, you know?
See, I was hoping that you would fight me, and then I would lose the fight easily, because also Final Fantasy is coming out around that time.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know if I can juggle all those, you know, a 70-hour game and a 40-hour game. And then, of course, Suicide Squad is going to come out.
Oh, my God. Don't forget Suicide Squad.
And I got to put at least 50 hours.
I reviewed Squad. Persona 3 for IGN, so I should probably come back.
I love Kevin creeping into the shot.
Hi, Kevin.
So wild Kevin appears.
They say hi. He can't hear you guys, so.
He's so grumpy. He loves to be fake grumpy. You know what I mean?
Fake grumpy fake. Boy.
Oh, look, he's wearing the Jabroni shirt, though, too. I don't know if I've seen anyone wear it in real life. It's gone now.
This really does give the vibes of, like, when you're watching, like, an NBC sitcom or whatever, and then, like, another show invades the episode, and they're just,
after
like,
this,
hanging out in
Jim.
The lower third. Yeah. Yeah.
They're doing, like, the football thing during Monday Night Football. I digress. Let's get to sad news. Number one on the Rope Report. The Last of Us Last of Us Studio Naughty Dog is cutting developers. This is Ethan Gotch over at Kotaku. The video game industry is currently facing a big wave of layoffs, and even contract developers at PlayStation first-party studio Naughty Dog aren't immune. Kotaku has learned that the maker of hits like Uncharted 4, A Thief's End, and The Last of Us Part 2 have begun cutting contracts short for dozens of workers. Layoffs were communicated internally at the Santa Monica, California-based studio last week, according to two sources familiar with the situation. Departments ranging from art to production were impacted, but the majority of those laid off worked in quality assurance testing. The sources said at least 25 developers were part of the downsizing. Full-time staff do not appear to have been part of the cuts. Naughty Dog's headcount was over 400 as of July. Sources tell Kotaku that no severance is being offered for those currently laid off, and the impacted developers, as well as remaining employees, are being pressured to keep the news quiet. Their contracts won't be officially terminated until the end of October, and they'll be expected to work through the rest of the month. Sony did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Bloomberg reported in June that Sony had diverted resources away from The Last of Us multiplayer project following a negative internal review by Bungie. One source now tells Kotaku that the multiplayer game, while not completely canceled, is basically on ice at this point. Just like Greg said it would be when the
news
broke.
It's wild that you called that so long ago.
I've been around a long time, Bless. Mm-hmm. And so when you put all your efforts into something as a video game developer, and we get to a point where, like, this isn't working, we're going to downsize the team, that's the kiss of death.
Yeah.
It's not impossible, but it's very rare that you downsize and that smaller group figures it out to then resize back up.
I'm pretty sure you called it, like, even way before that, right? Of, like, do we ever see this last multiplayer game? Like, I want to say years ago.
Wow.
Which I thought you were crazy for. Please. And somehow, like, you know, years down the line, it seems like, yeah, we might never see this multiplayer game, which breaks my heart. Like, obviously, in terms of, like, the order of operations in this story and the order of which things break my heart, right? Breaks my heart to see people lose their jobs, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a contractor, it doesn't matter if you're QA, it doesn't matter, like, who you are, right? Yeah. If you're working for a company and you have this expectation of, hey, I am working full-time, giving my full-time efforts here, and my time here is being cut short, especially without severance, that fucking sucks. And that's a terrible thing. I don't think anybody should have to go through that. That's first and foremost. But then, yeah, like, you know, I'm somebody who really liked the Last of Us multiplayer mode in that first game. The fact that, yeah, like, we were told we were going to get this thing. We had the tease of this thing a year ago at Summer Game Fest.
Yep.
And it seems like we might never see this thing. That also breaks my heart. It also just breaks my heart that this is Naughty Dog, right? This is a studio that we look to as, you are a top tier, not just PlayStation studio, a top tier studio that we look at in terms of action games, action adventure, storytelling, how you present your games, how good they look, motion capture, all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Naughty Dog is a studio that so many people put on a pedestal. And so to see, and, like, this isn't one of the first stories we've had about Naughty Dog and, like, work culture and all that stuff, right? But usually it's a crunch thing. Usually it seems like a lot of people were overworked there. Now that we're here and we're seeing it be we're laying 25 people off without severance, and also it seems like, yeah, we're not going to have one of our projects actually come out. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way around it, right? Yesterday with Sage, I talked a lot about layoffs. And in the video game industry, how we're in this season, as Ethan puts at the top, right, where it's happening everywhere again. I talked about, like, the old days of what it was at IGN when we'd be covering this, and it would be this build up to a release, your studio gets big, 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 release the game, and then you cut the contract workers. You cut these positions, and that was the cycle of, you know, cycling through people. And it was a shitty cycle, but it was kind of, okay, this is what it is and how it's going to be. And we moved away from that. And now we have recently, of course, been seeing major cuts across the board at, you know, Epic. You go to line, everything that's happening in Bracer. Mm-hmm. Now stuff like this, and it is sometimes full-time, sometimes the entire studios, sometimes just the CEO, sometimes contract workers here. And I think that's the roughest part about this one, is that these contract workers, right, are there, like you're saying, giving their full-time efforts with the expectation their contract will go all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, it has begun cutting contracts short for dozens of workers. what does that actually mean? Where they, you know, my contract was supposed to be through December. Even if it was supposed to be through November, it doesn't matter. You're getting cut in a way that you weren't expecting to. Mm-hmm. Your contract could end and you'd be that, you know, I'm looking for the next job. Hopefully I get signed on full time, et cetera, so on. To throw a wrench in those works sucks. To have it be that they're going to be cut at the end of October, right? At least you have a month to do it. But even a month to do it, you're trying to ramp up in a time when the industry is ramping down. Right, we're coming into the holidays. You are slowing down. I'd love, and I know it's impossible because I'm sure so many people have different contracts, but I'd love to know what the median was of, like, when were these contracts supposed to end? Were they supposed to end in November, December, or was it supposed to be that, oh no, you're going to be on through sorry, next spring? I coughed into the mic. Did you notice that? I didn't, like, there was no move away from it, just caught right into it for everybody listening home.
Or was it supposed to carry through to the end of the project?
Exactly. And, we were originally planning to launch this multiplayer thing in spring, so that's what it is, and da-da-da-da. And, like, this is an interesting one where, you know, I had a rant yesterday about, again, when we were talking about Epic, because I had kind of missed the boat on that since we weren't here. And then the layoffs were yesterday. Oh, no, it was Epic because we're talking about the guy leaving, right? Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, like, layoffs and downsizing and et cetera always suck or whatever, but it especially sucks when you see somebody gamble. Oh, like yesterday with the conversation of Epic, right? Of like, the good times are rolling for Fortnite. It'll never do. Let's buy Bandcamp. Let's do this. Let's do that. And like, you do this thing where you bloat to a point. Oh shit! Actually, we can't do it. Mm. This one's an interesting one. Of like, you assume these QA people were brought on to be ready to test factions, to get factions out or whatever they want to call the multiplayer mode, right? And then for it not to be there and them have nothing to do. It's one of those things of like, this isn't, I don't think, necessarily a gamble that didn't pay off. Yeah. Clearly, like you're bringing it up, SGF there last year. Hey, here it is. Here's concept art. Like, they were in the throes of making this project. But what do you do when a project doesn't happen, when it doesn't come together, when it isn't to a point where people can actually test and do stuff with it? And again, maybe not even test it in the sense of, let's get it ready to ship. Mm-hmm. These could just be the QA testers that are like, here's a new build. What's not fun about it? What's not going? And so again, back to the point here of like, you are never going to see this Last of Us multiplayer game.
I mean,
the fact
that in the story, they talk about it being put on ice. Yeah. Right? If that's the case, then yeah, what are these people to do?
Exactly.
And I think, you know, we get into the conversation of the amount of answers there could be. Oh yeah, we can reallocate these people to these other teams. Okay, let's look for other positions, maybe within PlayStation, other studios, that we could use this QA stuff. But if it's contractor roles and not actually like these full-time, full PlayStation employee roles, how does that stuff translate? Are you able to reallocate people? Are these, and I don't know what, I also don't know what the contract situation is at PlayStation. Is it a thing of, are you going to the third party company to contract these people? And if that's the case, are you even able to give these people different roles because they might be hired under some sort of different thing? Like for me, in one of my previous jobs, like, you know, I worked under a temp agency. And for that, right, like I remember it being a whole thing where I wanted to work for the company that was hiring me from the temp agency. They couldn't hire me until they bought me out from the temp agency, right?
Yeah.
They had to pay a certain amount of money. And for that, like, I was basically temping for a year and a half before I got brought on full time. And that sucked that it worked that way, but like, that was just the way things worked, right? And like, I don't know how that stuff applies to what's going on here, right? Sure. If they're in a scenario like that. But yeah, like, I think it just sucks for the people involved where it is, like, we talk about, hey, like, I'm seeing this through till the end of the project, or I'm seeing this through till the end of the year, or whatever it is. All of a sudden, in October, boom, I'm out. And now, like, I have, what, the rest of the year to, like, figure out what I'm doing, right? Like, there's a holiday that's about to approach that I got to figure out now, right? Like, this is not the best of times to be laid off, especially when we talk about the season that we're in and, like, how difficult it is to find jobs in the industry right now.
For sure. Now, what I think is an interesting topic about this is something we've approached before. We've had it on conversations on PS I Love You. We've had these conversations on, of course, Games Daily, right? Where you talk about, okay, cool. Naughty Dog can't get this games as a service together for arguably PlayStation's biggest franchise, I would say, right? Last of Us at this point with HBO and everything else behind it, blah, blah, blah. Like, what does this mean and what does this inspire confidence for you in terms of the other games as a service? When PlayStation's like, we're doing all these live service, we got 12 coming, here's Fair Games, here's Concord, here's another fucking extraction shooter and all this stuff. And I want to do something I think is interesting, because right now we're in the season of layoffs, we're in the season of everything falling away, right? This is going to make me, I'll give you full disclosure, I have not read this book, but Jen and I were having a conversation about a book she's reading, right? She's reading Glossy, Ambition, Beauty, and the Inside Story of Emily Weiss's Glossier, right? That makeup brand or whatever. It's by Marissa Meltzler. There's a paragraph in there that she was talking about that I made her get the book and let me go through, right? Mm-hmm. Because it talks about basically something that works here, right? And then there was a vibe shift. Quote, this realization that the last decade is over, according to the trend forecaster Sean Monahan. He originated the term in June 2021, and the phrase had made mainstream, I'm sorry, and the phrase was made mainstream later by an article in New York Magazine by Allison P. Davis. In an interview, Monahan explained it in reference to watching the Andy Warhol Diaries on Netflix. Quote, Warhol talks about how a couple of years into a new decade, things start to look and feel different. The quote is something like, there'll be new people and new faces, and it takes a couple of years into a decade for things to really get going. And that's when you decide who's going to make it into the future and who's going to be relegated to the past. Hmm. This is piggybacking off of like the trends that were so hot in fashion and beauty or whatever, becoming so mainstream that then they're no longer cool. And then everybody wants to move out of, and what's the next big thing? As you see, Epic fucking Games lay off all these people. The people who make Fortnite because Fortnite's not making the money it once was. As you see, Naughty Dog, the crown jewel of PlayStation Studios, say, we have to lay people off. Well, they're not saying it, but we have to lay people off because you would assume that our multiplayer game isn't happening anymore. It then makes, at least to me, right, look at Fair Games, which did not move the needle for us. Look at every other extraction shooter that's and every games as a service, and be like, yo, like this isn't these felt stale when I saw them 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Three months ago. Right. And now that we're here, like there definitely isn't an appetite for them. And I know that because the biggest fucking game in the space is hemorrhaging people because there isn't an appetite for it anymore.
Yeah. It's a tough thing where I think when we look at PlayStation's multiplayer strategy, right? Like it kind of goes back to the conversations we're having around that time of like, yeah, maybe one or two of these might hit, right? And like, if one or two of these hit, is it worth it, right? Does that make the strategy worth it? As we get further into it, when you look at, okay, well, Naughty Dog is going to announce a game and then seemingly possibly cancel the game or just have the game be indefinitely in development and get into development hell. And then you have 25 people being laid off, right? You go through that, you go through some of these games aren't going to make it, right? Some of these games failing. Are those missteps going to be worth the one or two hits that you may have, right?
And hoping that you have it. Can it even be a hit?
Yeah.
That's my thing, is can it even be a hit? And because again, I want to make sure we're being crystal clear. Like, layoffs suck. However, I am glad that Naughty Dog, with the help of Bungie or whatever, looked at this and like, yo, this game isn't good. Let's not force it out. Let's not do this thing.
Yeah.
Let's find the fun. We can't find the fun. No one should feel the, I gotta release something. I gotta release something, because that's how we get, what was the fucking Gotham Knights. You know what I mean? Like, we gotta put it out. That's how, we almost got Suicide Squad. We'll see what that is. I digress on all that stuff. I'm sorry, Barrett, to break your heart. It is that idea that, like, I wish Haven, I wish Firewalk, because Aloy drinks Sprite. Yeah,
or does she walk up a mountain?
Always do that. It's not
is
that
it not? She doesn't walk
Firewalk
up a mountain.
I wish all of them success. I hope their games are 10 out of 10. I hope that they come out and we're all like, fuck, I have to play this. But it's more that thing of just like, none of these on the paper, nothing about this excites me. Yeah. The PlayStation.
What about Helldivers 2 though?
Huh?
Helldivers 2, right? Like, I feel like that is, it's the thing of like, you know, we all have the different tastes, obviously, yeah, right? And I feel like I look at that one and I go, okay, I can see the sort of audience for it now. Does that mean it's going to be a hit? Like, Helldivers 1 wasn't like take over the world by storm, right?
I think Arrowhead Studios is a smaller studio than I shouldn't say that, actually. I think there are less expectations on Helldivers 2 than there will be on Fair Games.
Okay.
Fair Games, I look at, and it's Jade Raymond. It's this new thing from Haven. We committed
it's
early because we like it.
Studio.
This is exactly. This is a PlayStation first party game. Helldivers is a sequel, an IP a PlayStation owns, but it's not. They don't own Arrowhead, so it's just like we're teaming up with this independent studio to make this game that people really liked and make it. And like, you look at it, and it is that thing of, you know, Helldivers does have the advantage of you don't have to play multiplayer. Mm-hmm. At least Helldivers 1, you didn't have to, and even there, arguable, because there's hard stuff and you'd need help and da da da. But it's like, that is a very specific, I think, I'm going to jump in and do this for a little bit, or, you know, grind it out with my friends for a night, yada, yada, yada. Whereas Fair Games, I feel like, is going to be pushed as, this is, you got Ghost and you got Last of Us and you got Fair Games. Like, this is one of our vertical slices that's on the, you know, the cool blue background, you know?
Yeah, I think the thing that's, tough. And the thing I look at with Naughty Dog is the fact that Naughty Dog, when you talk about coming off of the last decade, right, and what was cool, maybe not, might not be cool, may not work for the next decade or whatever, right? Like, Naughty Dog is looked at by us in the audience as this, oh, you make some of the best single-player action-adventure games in the space right now, right? And, like, for a studio that is built on that foundation, it's really tough for me to look at them trying to make the shift into making something multiplayer, into making something live service. And I, like, in a way, I can see the story of Naughty Dog failing to get Last of Us multiplayer off the ground a bit easier than even something like the like Fair Games or even like any of these other multiplayer studios that are doing it. Because at the very least, these other studios are making these games from the ground up, right? Or they're being built from the ground up to make these kind of games.
Yeah.
Whereas the shift for Naughty Dog of, hey, we've made some of the most polished single-player games, let's try to do that for multiplayer, that might have been a dream that just was never going to happen, right? Because you look at that and it's, well, you want to do something that maybe nobody's ever done before if you're trying to translate this quality into a multiplayer thing. Like, you did Factions before, but that was a mode. If you want to make an actual games as a service thing, you got to look at Destiny, you got to look at the successes and go, okay, how do we emulate this a bit more, right? And again, Bungie is a studio that was built from the ground up to do something like that. You'd hope that translates into these other things, but I think the balance that you have to have with it is the fact that, like, not everybody and not most people can be Bungie. Like, not most studios can be Epic, right? These are these unicorn, once-in-a-generation type studios that come through and everything works out for them because... One,
the right game hits at the right time.
The right game hits at the right time, and also they go through the fire. Destiny, when it first hit, wasn't hitting for everybody, right? It took until certain updates, it took until The Taken King, it took until Destiny 2 for them to finally get to a place where it is, oh, Destiny is now Destiny. Fortnite launched and was a failure for the first year until they happened to go, let's try a Battle Royale thing.
I mean, if you remember too, it wasn't even the first year, right? It was the first few months. That thing launched to crickets. Nobody cared. And it was like, all right, hey, they put up a statement. We really like what they've done with PUBG, so we're going to try that too. We're going to do a Battle Royale. It'll be fun.
Like, these are insane stories, and it's really tough to replicate that. And I totally understand on the numbers side of Jim Ryan, PlayStation, all the people that crunch numbers over there going, hey, look at this. Like, I go back to the slideshow that they put out in the spring of, hey, look at what we're making right now off of these single-player releases with not many post-content updates. Look at what the industry looks like in terms of the trajectory overall of how much money post-launch content makes. This is a incredible amount of money that we're missing out on. I totally understand how you get there and how you want to go after that. But I think, one, it has to be organic. Two, like, you can't put so many of your eggs in that basket. I think it has to be the slow build of, hey, one at a time, let's try it with the things that work. Hey, Ghost of Tsushima Legends worked. Maybe let's try doing another one of those and seeing if we can put a bit more TLC into it.
And see, that's what's fascinating about it, though, is like, if you're doubling down on this live service conversation as PlayStation, I don't think you can do one at a time because it's what we're talking about. Like, you are already so late to the trend, right? That's what I'm talking about with the quote from the book is like, this is already passe. So it's like, if you're going to say we want to do 12 and we're going to slowly pepper them out, like, by the time you get to that, well, that 12th one will never see the light of day. Many of the I will be fascinated if the 12 games, 13 games they were talking about actually all hit, actually come out.
Yeah.
Because, and clearly they won't. But it's that idea of like, you got, they're trying to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall to see which one sticks, but it just also then makes it seem like such a floundering, non-committal, no vision proposal that it's hard to believe in any of them.
Yeah.
I would, you know what I mean? I would rather seen them say, and this is weird and impossible, but rather than do this 12 thing, we're going to make Last of Us work. You know what I mean? Okay, it didn't work. You're not there. Let's pass it off to a team that is some people from Bungie, some people from this thing. We're coming together to make a Last of Us multiplayer studio or whatever.
And I think that's how it should have been. Yeah. Right? Like, I think if you were going to do that, like, find the right people and make a Naughty Dog 2 and have it be, okay, we brought in people from Bungie to help consult or help work mainly on this thing and like really nurture this product and try to make this big product work, as opposed to like shotgun approach, hey, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do Fair Games, we're gonna do Concord, we're gonna do Marathon. Like, you know, again, I'm sure like a couple of these are gonna hit. I got faith in Marathon just because it's Bungie. You know, if it was anybody else, I'd be like, oh, I don't know about this. But the fact that it's Bungie, I'm like, okay, I think Bungie knows what they're doing for the most part. But again, nobody is immune to failure. Like, we've seen studios who are doing things that they know how to do and they fuck it up. Like, I look at all the big Western RPGs of the last decade and I'm like, well, you know, Mass Effect Andromeda happened, Anthem happened,
Fallout 76
happened, Cyberpunk 2077 launch happened, right? Like, you know, even the people who know what they're doing aren't immune to, like,
of course,
you know, failure.
Everybody's human. And again, like, making a game is such a gamble. I don't think people truly understand that, right? Because you're talking about, and remove multiplayer from it, you are talking about making a piece of art that you are starting with a whiteboard and ideas that then becomes, over years, someone sitting in their house playing with a controller. And like, it's the exact same way we talk about games on the show, right? What you like, I might not like, and vice versa. So you can never make something that works for everybody, but you have all these different voices trying to make something with you. And so maybe your idea gets watered down or made better, whatever. But like, the time it gets out through the entire process to whatever it is, it's a miracle you get a game, period. It's a fucking insane cosmic entity if it's an amazing game and it hits all these points. I mean, like, there are so many things happening to get you to that point, and it is such a gamble that this game is going to be fun and going to be interesting.
Yeah. And even if it's fun and interesting, right? Like, is it going to hit? Like, yeah. I go to, I mean, not oh, jump yeah, into like story number two. Story number two is
let's
about,
go to it.
Yeah. It's like, that's about Boomerang X if you want to cover it. But it's, I think that applies exactly to what we're talking about right now.
Number two on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, the Boomerang X developer is shutting down. Dang Makes Games put up this tweet yesterday in a notepad, which I love, like, because it's in notepad, like on your, not in your iPhone notes. It's
no, literally like on the Windows.
Yeah. The window. Hi, everyone. Dang is closing up shop. Unfortunately, we were not able to find funding for our next game, and we're out of money. We're not writing off the possibility of working on some small stuff together in the future, but for now, we're all going our separate ways. Thanks for all the love you've shown to us over the years, and for playing Boomerang X. Farewell, Dang Forever. Now, do you remember Boomerang
X? Oh yeah, I played the hell out of Boomerang X. I think that was one that me and Andy really liked. I forget if Barrett played it. That might have also been a Barrett choice.
Y'all really tried to get me to play it, and I just never got around to it.
Yeah.
Not Psychonauts.
And I mean, I think it would be one that Barrett liked, because Barrett liked Neon White so much as well. And like, for me, they're similar kind of games of like, you're going through these arena environments and taking out enemies pretty quickly and seeing like how fast you can get through it. And Boomerang X, really, really good game. Like, that was, a for me, like an indie darling of that year that was underrated, underappreciated, all that stuff. And I think that goes back to the conversation of, you can even put out something that's good and it's gonna fail.
And that's the thing too,
not that
it's like,
not that Boomerang X failed, right? But like, the studios,
it didn't hit where they wanted to, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to find an article to cite somebody. I think it was just one of our peers on Twitter. They called out the fact that, of course, Boomerang X published by Devolver. So it's like,
oh yeah,
you have, it's not like these folks did this all on their own and then it just didn't work out. Like, they had Devolver behind them. They had, like, Devolver is a label that means something to people, right? There are people who, I love Devolver games.
Yeah, that's me. Like, if Devolver's putting out a game, there's a really good shot that I'm going to love that game.
And so, like, even with that big of an indie label behind you, right, of a publisher behind you, they just couldn't make this work. They couldn't get enough units. They couldn't make enough money off of it to keep it going.
So, back to the previous story a little bit, right? Sure. But including all this, including just all the layoff conversations we've had over the last few weeks, what is it about this current season where we're seeing this all happen at once? Is it the fact that we're getting into the fall? Is it the is it build up over time and everything just popping at once? Like, why is it this current season, do you think?
Well, even to say this season, I think, is a bit too much boxing it in, sure, right? We're seeing, I think you can extend to this year, right?
With, like, and tech companies.
And this season, yeah, I would say what you're starting probably at the beginning, end of spring into where we are now. So it's not like one season, but we keep saying it because it's like kind of like a review season. It's just happening all the time. My interpretation on it, and I'd always be interested to hear a Matt Piscitella or somebody else tell me I'm wrong from Cicada, not or Cicada, not not Circana. MPD. Circana, whatever it is. MPD sounds Cicada so much better. Matt Piscitella comes up from the ground once every 16 years to give you the MPD data. Anyways, though, my interpretation on it is that it's the basically fallout from COVID. Mm-hmm. You figure it was that we had this thing where all of a sudden everybody's locked down, gaming shoots up, everybody's playing more, revenues up, people are working on their games, and it's this really weird thing. You know, we even saw it kind of funny that there was like, oh man, we're somehow during this pandemic where we were worried about it going really bad, it's actually better for us because people are at home consuming entertainment a certain way. So numbers shot up, and I think people like Epic, and not to keep coming back and bagging on them, made, I think, short-sighted bets, thinking, oh well, gaming is up this much, it's going to, this is the new standard, we can do this X, Y, and Z, and it'll, the good times will roll. And then we came out of the pandemic, right, and we've seen things go down, not like crater down, but come down from their pandemic highs. And I think then it's like, oh shit, you know, I talked a lot about it at the beginning of the year when on our side, when you saw advertising dry up, you saw, I kept talking about the economic headwinds I'd hear about it, and on the radio, National Public Radio, NPR. Yeah. NPD and Cicada.
National Public Radio. Use their like government name.
I kept saying NPD in my head. I'm like, that's not the word, Greg. Don't say NPD. NPR would talk about this all the time, right? Of like, it was people batting down the hatches, getting ready for things, da 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 da. And that is continuing in our sphere right now, where it is maybe even not batting down the hatches. There might have been that like, sound the klaxon, everything's in trouble. But then even when it's not in trouble, it could still be better. We're still, you know, we're talking about all these companies, right? That, well, not dang, but we're talking about all these companies that like have shareholders, yeah, that have people that
the
want,
embracers.
They want return on their investment. They aren't looking for minor returns that, you know, we see CEOs ousted all the time for just not delivering on the numbers they need to deliver on. And so I think it is that thing of like, okay, cool. Tighten our belts. Let's go through. And again, not to keep bagging on PlayStation as a overall brand, but it is the same thing of where I just do not believe in the live service push, because I think the live service push was, we should do this. And you start getting that going behind the scenes. And by the time there was the public reveal of it, mm-hmm, it was already cooled, let alone where we are now, where it's just like, no one is clamoring for this. No one is interested. And again, please tell me if I'm wrong, live chat. Tell me if I'm wrong, people in the YouTube comments watching later. If you're like, fuck no, I want another extraction shooter. I want this. Maybe it's just not my game. Maybe it's just not my PlayStation, et cetera. But it's like,
I mean, I've not seen many people excited about like the overall push, right? Like, yeah, this is the thing is, you know, I think you then point to individual games and, you know, Helldivers 2, I know you're excited for, and I'm only like, I'm moderately excited
well,
for it.
I, and again, we've talked about this on the shows. Yeah. I would say I'm moderately excited as well. Like, okay. I got more confident after that better look at it. But that first gameplay where I was like, is there a HUD? What are we doing? Yada, yada. Yeah. And then they released it. I'm like, okay, it still looks like Helldivers, whatever. I don't know if Helldivers is going to drop and I'm going to be like, 60 hours, it. Let's go. Hopefully it's like we do a really fun stream and Mike wants to play at night every so often, da da da. But like, again, it's like, if Helldivers dropped right now, with all due respect, I'm not playing that. I'm not like putting aside Spider-Man and Assassin's Creed Mirage to go do that, right? Yeah. Now, granted, that's my work and my review, but even when Alan Wake 2 comes, that would go to the top of the pile, right?
Yeah. And then as we go down the list, right, like Concord, I don't really care much about. Fair Games, I don't really care much about. And like that said, maybe once I see more of those games, maybe I start to care about them.
Sure.
But right now, just based off of the first look and based off of the description of both games, I'm like, yeah, those don't really do much for me.
What's the one I'm, the Hyena? The Hyenas, right?
Oh, that was the second one, yeah.
And it's the one where it's like, I had the same reaction to Hyenas that I had to Fair Games.
Yeah.
I had to Conquer. I'm like, all right, whatever.
And so, like, I think the only one left right there would be Marathon. And Marathon, again, like, if that wasn't Bungie, I could not care less, right? This is the fact that it's Bungie, and I'm like, oh, cool, another Bungie game. You know, that's something I might play. And I'm sure for the audience out there, I think there might be enough people that probably feel the same way. But, yeah, I don't know if the overall... I think the way that they push it and the way that they've presented it so far hasn't been worthwhile. And maybe once they present it better, we get a better idea of like where people's feelings actually lay. But it almost feels like they're afraid to give us the full story.
So let's jump tracks for a second, because here's a question I have for you. All right. Let's talk about a game that is a games as a service, mm-hmm, that we've both played and enjoyed. I think you played it, right? Yeah, you played it. We've both played it and enjoyed.
Marvel's Avengers?
No. It's not out yet. I want to know, how long do you think Foam Stars has in the tank?
Oh, I didn't play Foam Stars.
Shit, fuck. I couldn't remember if you were part of that demo or not.
Yeah, so like Mike.
Okay.
Well, I mean, what do you think, though? Like,
dude,
how long
Foam Stars
think?
Was a fun time, and it's that thing that, again, I might play it on a stream, but I wouldn't, I mean, no. I'm not going to make space for that. I'm going to make time for that. I feel like that could have a really successful opening weekend, and then I wonder if it'll just completely fall off a cliff and go away.
Yeah.
Because I know this is, I'm mixing apples and oranges, because I have, this happened while I was on vacation. But I played it with Jack Quaid when I came back. Party Animals.
Uh-huh.
Fun. That was a lot of fun. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not clamoring to go back to Party Animals.
Why right? is that? Because like Party Animals,
I've
I look
Fall
at it as another Fall. Okay.
I've
I was going to say,
Fall
it looks
guys.
Like another
I've
Fall
done,
Guys.
I've done this before, right? Like, am I really like, I need, and I don't know what their concurrents are. So this isn't me. Again, I'm not talking shit. It was a fun game. It was just like, cool. That was a great experience. I feel like I've had it before. I'm good. It's not like Fall Guys. When Fall Guys did drop and it was like, hold on, I'm playing this at night for the 3 days at least, and then Mike got obsessed with it and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that about Party Animals, and it could still be out there.
Do you think part of it is that we're in such a busy season right now? And, like, I guess the other question is, does the busy season ever end? Because
that's my thing, you know, is I feel like when we get out of this season, like the season of reviews, when we get to the end of November and into December when fucking Avatar comes out and every flips out, I still think you're going to be playing catch-up with our library for a while in a weird way.
Yeah.
Where I still think it could be that thing where the game that... I remember Greg talking about that, or I remember Bless talking about Armored Core, like, right, like that's not at the top of my list, but I have it on my thing. I haven't deleted it. I know I need to play it eventually. Mm-hmm. When will I pop in and actually give that time? And so then it's always going to be that, hey, I had fun with Forms. And again, I'm not the multiplayer guy, a competitive multiplayer guy. So like, again, maybe there'll be a whole thing, but it's, I could Square. Square putting out a game is like Square like publishes award-winning games. Like it didn't meet our expectations.
Yeah.
Foam Stars is going to meet your expectations.
See, like, I think my thing, right, going back to the season conversation. You know, I talk about this season in particular being like maybe the last 2 weeks the last month and a half or so, because the stories have kind of like bubbled up even more. Like we've had these stories throughout the year, especially within the tech space in general. But within the last few weeks, I feel like we've been talking about, you know, Embracer layoffs, and obviously a lot of that is from like the deal they made back in the spring, right?
Creative Assembly,
like a bunch of stuff, right? Immortals of Avium, and like that was one where, you know, I think that is part that, well, I mean, that in particular, right, is due to the fact that we are in such a busy season right now. And you talk about even playing catch up once we get to around December, February of this upcoming year, in January for that matter, right, is looking like January/February from 2022, where if you remember, right, that was like when we played Dying Light and Horizon and Elden Ring and Sifu and Pokemon Legends Arceus and a bunch of these games.
Yeah,
that's what this upcoming spring is starting to look like as games start to plant their flag of, hey, we're coming out this around this time. And even games are starting to move from this year into early next year. I don't know if we're going to get to a place where it feels like Outriders again, where Outriders came out and it
I got nothing to do.
Let's play Outriders. We played so much fucking Outriders.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to have those scenarios as much anymore, because I think there are just so many, like, video games have just ballooned in terms of the amount that are coming out now, and I don't think people have time to like look at something that demands 10 30 60 hours of their time and go, yeah, I'm gonna play that instead of these five other games that I want to play that I've actually heard of, compared to like another Outriders or a Concord or something like that.
100%.
It's tough.
Plus,
do you think with Jim Ryan stepping down, do you think we see a shift in PlayStation? Do you think they take another look and go, oh, actually, this might not work? Or like, what do you think happens next?
It's a great question. Who knows? That's the real answer, right? Is like, who are you getting installed? It's also the fact of like, what are they seeing? Like, you know, we come out here and we talk every day and we do all this different stuff, and I think we know our shit and we do blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not. We've never made a video game, and we've never marketed or sold a video game. So like, PlayStation clearly sees something. Like, are they still seeing the same levels of that? Like, I mean, we were right about PlayStation VR too. Are we right about this? We'll find out about. I don't know. I could see someone coming in. I would like to see someone come in and be like, I mean, basically, and we will never, I do not for a second believe we'd get this. But basically, I do want a Phil Spencer for PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I do want somebody to step up, and whether it be shoes the joke and the shirt and you should go get it, but whether it would be Herman getting promoted from Worldwide Studios to run the whole place or whatever, a personable person who talks to the audience. And like, because that's honestly, even this whole live service shenanigans, if somebody would step up, grab the wheel and be like, come on PS, I love you, of course I'm gonna put us over, but go to Forbes, go to wherever, and be like, of course we've heard the audience, we believe in this, and here's why. Mm-hmm. We're like, right now it can go either way with what they're doing and where they're going and blah, blah, blah. But it could be that somebody steps up, grabs the wheel, and explains the strategy and why they believe in it and why this is going to matter. Or it could be a Jim Ryan leaves in the same way Don Matrick leaves. And then, you know, they correct the Xbox way and they correct the PlayStation, you know, and it correct as if PlayStation is getting destroyed right now. They're fucking crushing. But what happens when the next three games are these live service games? Everybody's like, I don't want this.
That's the reason why I think we'll probably get the opposite, right? Like, there's a few things here. I think it being PlayStation president, right? Like, that role being so different from, like, president of Worldwide Studios or president of PlayStation Studios.
It's PlayStation Studios. Worldwide was when she was still in charge.
You know, like, Herman Hulse coming from Guerrilla, getting that position and getting that, like, hey, yeah, I oversee PlayStation Studios because I am a person that comes from software and video games. And, like, I understand.
I know what this is like.
I know this is like, right? Like, I look at Jim Ryan as the president of PlayStation, and, like, I know a lot of people, we talked about this on PS Love You a lot, right? But, like, a lot of people look at Jim Ryan and they're like, oh, he's dry. Oh, he's not, like, that much of a, he doesn't come off like a gamer, all these things, right?
Yeah.
Like, his job is to be the numbers. Like, his job is to look at the business and go, all right, what is the, like, what are we doing here in terms of the overall PlayStation? And I think for where Herman's at with his position, right? Like, one, I would love to see him get promoted to PlayStation president, but is that the lane that PlayStation is going to want for him? Or is it, do they look internally and go, who's another numbers person?
We need a business person
to come in and basically continue the story that Jim Ryan is riding right now, right? Like, because they've also just not, they've not seen the failure of multiplayer yet, right? Like, this isn't me saying that multiplayer 100% is going to fail.
Of course, we could totally be wrong.
But, like, they've not they've not had the consequences yet. Like, the only consequences we've seen so far have been like, oh yeah, Bungie evaluating Last of Us and having that being put on ice, seemingly, right? Like, that's how that's supposed to work though for them and for the thing they've set up. You know, that's what's supposed to happen. They're not supposed to lay people off, but like, again, that's part of the business. I wonder if they are like, all right, cool, we got to find somebody who's going to continue this process that we're in right now to see where this ends up, yeah, and hopefully have this make 3 times as much money as we're already making.
We have to wait and see.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to wait through ads if you go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can get each and every episode of Games Daily ad-free. You can watch us record the podcast live as we record them. You can get those ad-free on demand as a video in MP3. And of course, you can get 300 bonus episodes of content and, this month only, a cool Miles Morales poster for Spider-Man 2. But I digress. Since you're not on patreon.com/kindoffunny, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you burn your last piece of toast? Have the avocados gone bad? Is the hot sauce bottle empty? You could try grocery delivery from DoorDash. You'll get everything you want delivered when you need it right to your door. You've trusted DoorDash to deliver your restaurant favorites, and now you can get grocery delivery that actually delivers too. You already know how much all of us here at Kinda Funny love DoorDash, but with thousands of grocery stores to choose from, you'll find the best in your neighborhood and boost your local economy with each and every order. You'll get exactly what you ordered, or they'll make it right. If you want even more value, you can save on all of your grocery and restaurant favorites with a $0 delivery fee on all eligible orders with a DashPass membership. With easy substitutes right in the app and best-in-class customer support, you can get 50% off your first DoorDash order up to a $20 value when you use code KINDA at checkout. That's 50% off up to $20, no minimum subtotal, and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code KINDA. Don't forget, that's code KINDA for 50% off your first order with DoorDash. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life. Exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDOFFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use the code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. And it has surprised multiple of my friends and people at Kinda Funny how many subscriptions they have that they forgot they are still paying for. That's why I'm such a big fan of Rocket Money. It's so easy to cancel the ones you don't want with just the press of a button. No more long hold times or annoying emails with customer service. Rocket Money does all the work for you. Rocket Money can even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is take a picture of your bills and Rocket Money will take care of the rest. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny. One more time, rocketmoney.com/kindoffunny.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in Team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I want Tim's A24 sweatshirt he wears in that ad.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ask him. Or steal it.
or rob him. He wears it to work and we keep turning up the heat. Yeah. So I take it off and then I get it. Yeah.
It's the perfect crime.
Just swing down from the ceiling like slowly like Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. Number three, Hatoful boyfriend developer accuses Epic of unpaid royalties. This is Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. The original developer of Hatoful Boyfriend has accused Epic Games of not paying royalties on the game for the past 2 years. In the wake of layoffs at Epic that impacted the studio behind the Hatoful Boyfriend HD remake, Mediatonic developer Hatomoa posted condolences on social media for, quote, the lovely, talented people from the studio, adding that Epic has not paid royalties on the game since it acquired Mediatonic in 2021. The day after Moa went public, Epic Games Publishing responded to say, quote, we are looking into this and the team will be reaching out to you directly, end quote. Hatoful Boyfriend originally published in Japan in 2011, but Mediatonic and developer Devolver Digital remade it for an international audience in 2014 and brought it to mobile and PlayStation platforms as well. Moa said those versions of the games had to be pulled from storefronts after Epic acquired Mediatonic in 2021, though it remains available on Steam, where it is published by Epic Games. Moa said it wouldn't be worth filing suit over the missing royalties, as the money in question wouldn't justify the cost or effort of legal action. Quote, don't worry, I'm totally fine, Moa added. I just wish I had been strong and influential enough to support all the nice people from Mediatonic. They've always been nice to me and Hatoful.
What's going on over there? Like, I wish I had more. I wish there was more said. And I understand like why maybe Hatto wouldn't want to say more, right? Because you don't want to like, you know, cut ties and all this stuff. But I'd be curious to know, like, were you reaching out and they were just ignoring your emails?
Yeah.
Or was it a thing where you were just like, whatever, like it's not worth the effort?
Yeah.
Because like if you're reaching out and they weren't responding to you and weren't giving you your money, then that's fucked. That's terrible. But if it was like all this shit happened where Mediatonic gets acquired and then Epic's and then they take it down from the store and then but it's still up on Steam and then like nobody reached out to anybody, then it's like okay, well, that sucks. You should get your money.
Yeah, I mean, long and short, no matter what, they should get their money.
Yeah.
But yeah, the whole, Mo said it wouldn't be worth filing suit over the missing royalties as the money in question wouldn't justify the cost or effort of legal action. That's where it's like, what? Oh, okay, so is this, again, they're owed the money no matter what, but is this a mountain out of a molehill? Is this just like, yeah, I'm owed a couple grand or whatever from it. And again, that's not like chump change or whatever.
Especially if you're a single, like, if it sounds like Moa might be a single developer.
Yeah. Right?
Like, not like a team or whatever.
So, I mean, get paid and get the thing. But yeah, was there an ongoing correspondence and you got lost in an Epic email chain from hell? Did the people you were talking to leave the company even before the layoffs and everything? Like, was there movement and a bunch of dead ends? Or was it that, like, you noticed this, emailed one person, they never responded, and then you didn't touch it for 2 years?
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wait a second.
Because, like, this is also arising just from the fact of, like, all the layoffs of Epic, too, and, like, Mediatonic seemingly getting hit by the layoffs, right? Like, this is Moa showing their love and support for that team, right? It's not even them coming out and being like, hey, by the way, Epic didn't pay. Like, it's like,
yeah, it seems like more so. Too, it's like an odd, weird dunk at the same time of being like, hey, all my love to the people who got laid off. Also, these guys never paid me. See you later. Whoa. What was that second part? Why was that second part included in this? You know what I mean? Like, and then to be then the backtracking of, don't worry, I'm fine. I just wish people had been strong. And I was like, okay. Yeah. It's a weird tweet thread about what's going on. And to Epic's credit, whoever is running the thing that responded, right? They put out a statement. They're like, we'll look into it. So it's like,
yeah.
Was this just like the first time somebody who understood what was happening heard about it? I don't know.
Yeah. Get paid.
Get paid.
And also, Hatoful Boyfriend, pretty cool. Pretty good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it.
It's one of those, I remember Miranda Sanchez at IGN being all about it.
Yeah.
And so when it finally came to PlayStation, I never had this twist ruined for me. I played it, but then I was like, I'm bored before I get to the twist.
I will say, I don't think I ever finished it. Okay. So I'm just learning there's a twist. I just know it as a bird dating
song. Okay. Yeah.
And from what I played of it, I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. Pretty cool idea. And then I bounced off. But like, I'm just now hearing there's a twist. And so maybe I got to go back.
Number four on the Roper Report. Nintendo's president says it will continue to support Switch next year. Shocking. This is Chris calling to VGC. Nintendo's president says the Switch will continue to see new software in the next fiscal year. In a new interview with Nakai, Shuntaro Furukawa was asked if the life cycle of the Switch could be expanded further than the 6.5 years it's already been on sale. Furukawa replied, I should say, that Nintendo would continue to focus on the Switch until the end of the current fiscal year, ending March 2024, and would continue to support the console with software in the following fiscal year, ending March 2025. Quote, we are still working on software for the Switch for the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2025, Furukawa said. In the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2024, we hope to sustain the momentum of Zelda and the Super Mario Bros. Movie with focus on the holiday season. As for hardware, we'll maximize not only new demand for new hardware, but also for those buying second consoles and replacements, end quote. Currently, Princess Peach Showtime is due for release on Switch in March 2024, right before the end of the fiscal year. The only known Switch game to set to release after that are Luigi's Mansion 2 HD and Paper Mario The Thousand Year Door. Nintendo is not to officially comment on plans for its next console. However, However, according to VGC sources, the company has dispatched Switch 2 development kits to key partners with a launch date planned for the second half of 2024.
This very much is a water is wet story.
Yeah, exactly.
As I reread it, I was like, oh, maybe I didn't need to put this in the report. But like, you know, we are still working on software for the Switch for the fiscal year ending March 31st, 2025. Like, yes, we know this because... they mentioned the article, but like one of the games, I think it might have been Luigi's Mansion, I believe, is slated for July of next year, which technically is in that fiscal year. So
sure.
Yes, the question is, do you support the Switch till the end of the fiscal year? Probably, but like that's yet to be seen, right? Like I'm fully bought into the idea that we're going to see the Switch 2 fall of next year, based on like the reports. And all
Totally.
Just based
on like 100%.
What feels like it makes sense.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, that makes sense for me too.
And the obviously, Wii U was supported until the launch of the Switch. So,
and it's also the thing is like, you're going to see, they're going to be making third party deals, and indies are going to be coming to Switch long after Switch 2 launches. And there's still going to be stuff.
Sure. Happening. Yeah.
That stuff still happened for the Wii U. You want to know how many Wii U games came out in America this year?
Wait, how many?
Two.
Which ones?
Two games came out in 2020.
Wait, can I guess? Just Dance.
No.
Nah, damn it. Well, I guess it just dances now yet.
It's technically two different releases, but it seems to be like the same like IP or something. It's called Silver Falls White Inside It's Umbra, and then Silver Falls Undertakers. Both came out February 16th, 2023 on the Wii U.
Do you think if I develop a game for the Wii U and have it be just like the most obscene shit of all time, like Nintendo would even notice if I just, or anybody would notice if I uploaded?
Yeah,
to the
somebody
store?
Would blow you up on Kotaku or whatever.
But like, do you think
every time somebody puts titties on the PSN, somebody's got to write about it?
But it's the Wii U. Like, I don't think Nintendo, like the team for Nintendo that is doing the what do they call it when you have to like go through the game before you add it to your platform? You work on that team, make sure it doesn't crash people's fucking Wii U's. I'm sure whoever that person is,
a QA guy, yeah.
Yeah, but like it's Is it something beyond QA? Certification, yes.
Yeah.
Wii U certification has to be two people who like only do that as part of their job. Like that's not even their full job.
It's one person, and it's something that they have to do at the very beginning of the year for like a day. Yeah, and then they don't have to think about it.
And then they go back to their other job.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, we'll pay you an extra like $10 an hour for this one day to do.
Just look at these games. There's two Wii U things for this year.
Yeah.
Number five and final on the Roper Report, the Batman Arkham Trilogy for Nintendo Switch has been delayed. This is Wesley Yin Poole at IGN. Batman Arkham Trilogy for Nintendo Switch is delayed. Publisher Warner Brothers Games has announced it was due out October 13th, but it'll now launch December 1st, 2023.
Damn.
We
10
were all,
days.
This is where we're waiting. This is what we're waiting for.
Yeah, that was wild that it was 10 coming days out before in 10 days.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they... Again, I don't know how anything in this industry works.
Yeah.
But like, there's got to be Best Buys with like the cartridge sitting in the back, right? With Batman Arkham Trilogy, 10 days out. There's got to be like a warehouse, like a GameStop warehouse.
Was it only digital? Maybe.
Oh, was it only digital?
I don't know.
I guess that's how you get away with that. But that's wild that you can delay it. Good for them.
Headcanon, it was like, oh, we got to port over Arkham Asylum and City to the Switch. Oh, fucking easy. And then it announces the entire trilogy. They're like, we have to figure out how to get Arkham Knight on the Switch.
Yeah, like,
are you fucking
damn,
kidding me?
Nobody told us this. Joker's really high fidelity in this one. Ah, damn, we got to figure this out. Well, December 1st, Barrett, are you going to be there?
He'll be knee-deep in Avatar.
No.
Oh, he'll have some time before Avatar.
No, that's the problem. Like, I think December is going to be like the, where, you know, I try to play a couple more games for the Game of the Year stuff. Avatar is not going to be there.
I will say Avatar is December 7th, which means we'll get review codes probably like a couple weeks before, so you will be knee-deep in Avatar.
Yeah, no, you blew yourself. That's not a game I'm going to request a code for, too.
I'm going to get you one.
No, please don't. That's a waste of a code.
You like Far Cry, don't you?
Like, I need to go back to Final Fantasy. I need to go back to a couple of other things. I haven't even started Lies of P. I'm probably, like, no.
No.
I've got them working on my Steam Deck.
So you don't like when blue people wear Kohl's shirts that they bought? Like, just regular human clothes?
You gotta drive it, man. You just gotta accept that.
And, like, wearing shorts.
The avatars wear people clothes.
Did you know that the avatars wear people clothes?
Yeah, I saw. I was watching. Yeah, don't even get me started. Don't even get me started.
The blue people avatar, they wear real people clothes.
Kevin, we can't hear you. Come, not the locals.
Not the local. I've not seen enough of that. I just saw the trailer.
Yeah, Well, yeah.
And in one of the trailers, they're wearing like one of these shirts. One of the jabroni shirts.
Yeah, so the movie, essentially what happens is they make aliens that are like your clone, but with the alien DNA.
Yeah.
So you can go into it, right? So that is their avatar in that world. So the people aren't wearing native clothes. They're wearing shirts that are made for them, so it like feels less awkward.
But like they transported these shirts from Earth, or did they open up a Kohl's on space?
Do they have they have bigger guns for them? Like they made them all these things.
That's insane. That's wild. I gotta watch one of these movies sometimes.
You don't. Don't
That's
support
crazy,
it.
Crazy, dude.
The next Avatar movie is so far away. If I wanted something more important, say what games to the mom and the grub shops, where would I go? Blessing.
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. Disgaea 7 Vows of the Virtueless comes to all the PlayStations, Switch, and PC. Scorn comes to PlayStation 5. Silent Hope comes to Switch and PC. Battle Shapers Early Access comes to PC. The Lamplighters League comes to PC and Xbox Series X. High on Knife comes to PC, Xbox Series X, and PS5. Spellforce Conquest of Io is coming to Xbox Series X and PlayStation 5 on November 7th. That's not out today. You tricked me.
I don't know why I put that
there. That's a new date. New other new dates for you. Wordless has been delayed until November 21st. And Kingdom 80s Summer of Greed is coming to Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5, and Switch and mobile on October 16th. Some deals of the day for you. The U.S. PlayStation Plus Essential Games are up. You can get the Callisto Protocol on PS4 and PS5, Farming Simulator 2022 on PS4 and PS5, and Weird West on PS4 and PS5.
Callisto Protocol.
Yeah.
Around spooky season.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and say on PS Plus, good deal.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah. I think it's going to, I talked about this when they announced it, right? I think that this will be a time for a lot of people to go, like, oh, this isn't that bad.
Yeah, not that bad.
what are people talking about? Ladies and gentlemen, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, podcast services around the globe, and even patreon.com/kindoffunny where they're getting the show ad-free. Tundra Boy says, Luigi's Mansion 2 isn't slated for any specific month, just summer 2024. I Live Creed says, Arkham Collection on Switch is on a cartridge. Asylum is on the cart. City and Asylum are downloadable. So then,
They must mean City and Night. Because if Asylum's on the...
Yeah, no, he just misspoke. Okay. Asylum is on the cart. City and... He says Asylum, but he probably means Night are on our downloads.
So, yeah. At the last 10 days before, they're able to delay a physical release?
That's wild.
A lot of power. Zach Johnson in chat said, isn't the DLC atrocious? Talk about the Callisto Protocol DLC. And then a few chats later says, why is it nobody talking about the Callisto Protocol DLC? And I find that really funny.
Nobody gave a shit about the Callisto Protocol DLC.
We had to talk about this.
Did he say that?
This was Zach Johnson's talking about. Yeah, why is nobody talking about the Callisto Protocol DLC?
Why are you... Zach's so pissed off he played this DLC, he wants somebody else to bag on it.
Sorry, nobody played it. We didn't play it.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think I realized that there was DLC.
I remember that getting announced, but it was like, it's been around-ish. It's in this year where there's just a million things happening. Who's got time? Gamer has a year wrong and says, Disgaea 7 is getting released tomorrow, October 4th, not today.
Oh.
Damn.
I blame releases.com or wherever you got that from, blessing.
I get it from four different sources. And they all disagree about dates.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's another episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. We'll be back tomorrow and each and every weekday to run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Tomorrow it's going to be Blessing and Andy hosting. Thursday, Blessing and Tim. Friday, Tim and Blessing. Of course, this show's not over. We got a little post show we're going to do where we run through the super chats with the one, the only, the master of hype, Snowbike Mike. But of course, if you like this show, if you've had a good time, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can subscribe, support us, get the show ad-free, get the cool merch, get the cool exclusive shows like Gregway, and have a great time with the Next Gen podcast. Until next time, though, it's been our pleasure to serve you. Pah!
Mike, you play the Callisto Protocol DLC? Or you were playing Fort Solace, weren't you?
Yeah, he played Fort Solace.
I can't believe you played
Mike's
Fort Solace.
Mike's all about Fort Solace.
I'd be checking games out.
Mike be checking games out.
Played a lot of games.
You played a lot of games this weekend?
A lot of games this weekend.
I don't believe it.
Looking forward to more.
Looking forward to more.
You know what else? My FIFA skills pretty good.
Yeah? You trying to play some FIFA?
Me and the boys be playing FIFA.
Are you playing?
I sent you the text. I said we're playing.
You playing like on a team? Like what's your
pro clubs?
What's your position?
I mean goalkeeper.
You're a goalkeeper? Oh, okay. Okay.
You gotta let the team down.
Okay. You gotta let the team down, this guy.
Hey, you two. It's nice to see you both.
Hi. You forgot the microphone.
Yeah.
Did you make that?
No, Andy did.
Hello, everyone. It. Welcome in to your Kind of Funny Games Daily post show with me, Snowbike Mike, Greg Miller, and one blessing out of OEA Jr. Blessing, it's great to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
It is the start of a great week.
Yeah.
I have a good feeling about it. You know what I mean? We're going to open up some Pokemon cards.
Oh-wee!
Greg's still rocking his button-up t-shirts.
Yeah.
What are you going to rock next? What's next? What's hot in the fashion world?
I don't know, man. Yeah? I think I'm just going to play it chill for now. I think I'm just going to rock the regular t-shirts. Maybe I might, you know, come in to these shows with like one layer as opposed to two. Because for a while there, I was doing two layers just because I would get cold. Yeah. But now that it's like a decent temperature in here, I think I might just rock the one layer and do t-shirts for now.
I like that. I like that. T-shirts in the summer.
Let the arms breathe.
I got to walk it back, Greg.
Okay.
I got to check out the Arkham collection on Switch. Purely just to see the horrors of Arkham Knight running on the Switch.
If it's streaming though, whatever. Or downloadable, I guess is what they said.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's kick off some post-show with some super chats coming in from the community. They're excited to talk about today's news stories with all of you. Like CJ, who writes in and says, hey, how would you solve Sony's problem of increasing revenue if single-player games or single-player gaming profits are tapering off and third parties are being bought out?
I mean, well, firstly, I don't know if like single player games are like for PlayStation at least are tapering off in terms of like the revenue. I think they're seeing other forms of revenue and going, oh, well, but those are making a lot more. I think that's more so the thing that's happening. And like, you know, I think solving that there, right, like would be sort of what they're already doing, but I think just doing it in more of like a, and more of kind of the way we talked about, which is, hey, yeah, like let's spin up a new studio that is focused on making a multiplayer project and like, let's do this one at a time, right? Like, let's have them work on a Last of Us thing and get experts who know what they're doing, right? And like, have Bungie work with them. And like, you know, I like the idea of, you know, doing that from the ground up with a studio as opposed to like the shotgun approach of, all right, let's announce Concord and Fair Games and all these things. And hey, like, let's do all these things at the same time and see like what hits and what doesn't. Because, you know, we talk about it, but like the Naughty Dog thing concerns me, and like seeing the like all the PlayStation hirings for like, hey, we're Insomniac and we're hiring a multiplayer person. Gorilla is doing that too, but we're Sucker Punch. We're hiring these multiplayer people, right? Like, I get worried about a lot of these studios that are known for their single player projects now working on multiplayer stuff. You know, like I think there's stuff to do and experiment with there, right? But like, you know, I get worried about the putting your eggs in all in one basket situation of it. Mm-hmm.
Greg, what do you think?
How'd they phrase the question again? Oh, here it is. How would you solve Sony's PlayStation of increasing revenue if single-player profits are tapering off and third parties are being bought out? I don't fully understand the third parties being bought out aspect, CJ.
I think talking about, like, Xbox buying Activision.
Oh, okay. So the pool getting smaller. Gotcha. Yeah. Thank you. I would do several things. First off, for my first-party games that are happening at PlayStation Studios, I would say, let's make smaller, shorter games. Okay. Let's move faster. You know what I mean? Let's do what Insomniac's done with Spider-Man into Spider-Man Miles Morales, into Spider-Man 2, into Wolverine. Let's make tighter games that we can turn quicker, that we can get out there more. The audience is not stupid. The majority of them, people will complain about anything. But if we're giving them a high quality experience and you are shaving hours and fat off of it, they should like that. They should be a part of that. They want that. I would then say too, we're not doing enough with our IP by partnering with partners we trust. And this is something we've talked about before, right? Spider-Man's a bad example because it isn't totally owned by PlayStation, but stick with me. You know, when it was like, oh, maybe Concrete Genie Studio, right? Pixel Opus. Maybe they're working on the Spider-Verse game, something like that, right? I think there's a lot to experiment with there in the same way. I know it's a four-letter word around here sometimes, but the same way Ubisoft's talked about doubling down on their franchises, I think it'd be interesting to turn to a Housemarque and be like, listen, and this is weird because I don't want to get in their way. Returnal's a thing, But let's say Returnal wasn't as big a deal as it was, just so you understand my line of thinking. Turn to a Housemarque and be like, listen, Dead Nation was a fucking awesome game. If you played Dead Nation, you love Dead Nation, but it doesn't have a big thing to, what if you did something with Days Gone? There is an audience that loves Days Gone. So what if it was that you just worried about making a top-down zombie shooter with freakers running at you, and we don't have to worry about any other stuff. We did something there, right? In the same way you're looking at this the 2D Prince of Persia from Ubi, right? Let's jump in there and do that. We've talked about it. What is going on with Uncharted? Why aren't we? Who is working with it? Is anybody going with it? What's going on with that? What could be a fun new take on Uncharted that doesn't get in the way of, hey, this isn't Naughty Dog? That is Nathan Drake's smaller adventures. That is Cassie's adventures. That is whatever. It is Elena's adventures, right? Whatever you want to do. Or Chloe, that's what I'm looking for more, right? Where we can get into this thing and not make it necessarily what it is before, but, you know, something fun to do with these things that are smaller games that you go to, you know, to go off. And again, what I've wanted Marvel games to do, which is, hey, okay, cool, we have all this IP. Let's go find trusted small developers. What would Mike Bithell do with a PlayStation franchise if he could? You know what I mean? You look at that and like think about that.
I mean, it's the same way that Nintendo did Cadence of Hyrule with the people that did the, what was it called? The rhythm game before that. Crypt of the Necrodancer.
Yep, there it is.
And like, I think there are so many things we can do like that, right?
Yeah.
With PlayStation IP in the same way that you're talking about, like, oh yeah, what if you did a Days Gone Nation with Housemarque, right? Like, what are the other ideas that people have as indie developers that might not have either the platform or like, you know, the type of IP that you have? Yeah, let's give them a shot, because that's a success for you and that's a success for them.
And like, again, let's open up the archive and see there's so much fascinating, awesome stuff happening with independent developers and smaller devs, right? You're telling me right now, with all the creativity out there, somebody couldn't blow your mind with a Parappa the Rapper game? And not one of our PlayStation-owned first-party games, but somebody out there who's going to make the coolest fucking like little, in whatever they want to do with it, right? Even like, I know this would be hard. This would be an uphill battle. But like, for some reason, PlayStation did the Medieval remake, right? And it was like one of those things, nobody's really clamoring for that, and then nobody really played it, right? Because nobody wants to play a PS1 game again.
Hey, but
like,
Kevin was really excited for that, Greg.
I'm sure he loved it. Did you ever play the Medieval remake, Kev? No. Yeah, he doesn't have time for that, right? So, like, what if you went in there and did something small, something? And again, throwing out general ideas, but why aren't there somebody making an 8-bit, you know, whatever game?
Yeah, like, why was Destruction All-Stars? Like, why wasn't that a Twisted Metal?
Yeah.
Right? And, like, I know the idea of, like, well, would it have been bad anyway? Like, probably, maybe, but like, I think that would have been the like more exciting way to go about it, that would have gotten more people into playing that game, and then you give it like more of a jump start as opposed to this thing that off the bat everybody's like, oh yeah, Destruction All-Stars, I guess it looks fine, and it comes out and doesn't really do much for people.
That's what I would do. Jump into that stuff, experiment a bit more.
Yeah, big fan. And a lot of big super chats coming in. We
people
have a
love
lot
me
of messages. They're happy to
they
see
hate
you back.
Me when I stream video games, but when I say the super chat, they love me.
Let's jump around because we're having some fun, and I will get
jump
to
around
all of your super chats, I promise, because there is so many of them to get through.
Can I just interrupt for 1 second?
Yeah.
I have good news for you, Blessing.
What up?
Victor Lucas tweets, so far, parentheses, after the first 4 episodes, Loki season 2 is outstanding.
Oh, thank God.
We had a scare right before we went live. We saw the first 4 episodes got a 5 out of 10 from IGN. We all panicked.
Yeah. God,
but if Vic Lucas likes it.
I have even better. I have
a lot
even
of people are being
this
positive? Okay, good.
4 out of 6 episodes. Okay.
I've been saying it for years, but since around roughly 2015, IGN's just in the shitter. And
wow.
2015. Interesting.
They just sit there and eat their own poop in the shitter and go, I love this.
Dang. What do you think happened?
Wow. Terry writes in and says, hey guys, whatever happened to Lost Soul Aside? It was announced a while ago and there has been no updates since. Keep doing you.
I don't know. What happened to Stellar Blade? What happened to any of these games that was announced through, like, the, what was it called? The China Hero Project, I believe, for PlayStation, where they're publishing a lot of the games coming out of that area. Like,
okay.
You know, I...
KOTOR.
I want to see what was happening to any of these games, but I think it might just be the thing of, hey, games take a long time to make, and they don't want to give you an update until they know for sure. Mm. You know, Stellar Blade was announced for this year. I'm surprised they haven't, like, given us an update that it's not coming out this
year.
Real
quick, sorry. Spam591 in the chat says, hey, I work with IGN, Greg. You eat shit. There should be a comma after hey, and then you should put a period after shit, and this is what I'm talking about, is that IGN has lost the written word. And I don't know what happened in 2015, where they're just like, we want to be ghoulies in the toilet, but that's what happens when they hire people like Spam. And I'm going to write to Per Schneider right now and Spam, if I ever figure out what your fucking real name is, you'll never write another goddamn word at IGN, even though I'm sure you're just a janitor pushing a broom.
That'd be a dope job.
Yeah,
Lost Souls. I'm not insulting janitors. I'm just saying clearly he can't write, so he's not doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, Lost Souls side looks pretty cool.
Let's get all up in it. Furry B Productions.
Ben is super into garbage men and firemen. Yeah. And I really hope he's either one of them, but I think him as a garbage man would be a cool job. I think being a garbage man would be a cool job.
That'd be a fun time.
Here's what my beef with garbage men is, like, you know, the ones at my house specifically, they always put the dumpster right in front of my driveway so I can't get out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, just put it to the side. You know, stop blocking the driveway. That's my one beef.
Maybe you just help them a little bit?
Is it a dumpster or is it a can? It's both.
Okay,
we have a dumpster and we also have a can. They always put it right in front of my driveway.
I would rather that than the situation we deal with every week, where it's like, you know, we've got the compost, the recycling, and then the trash. We put it right in front of our house, and then every time, they put all of the recycling bins from our house and our neighbor's house all next to each other.
Yep.
All of the trash cans next to each other, all of the compost. So we have to fucking, like, fuck, which one's ours? You know, like.
Oh, that's very weird. That's a weird move.
I don't like it.
Yep.
Not a fan.
Also, Jordan Miller, or Miller in chat. Yes, I was listening to New Rory and Maul talking about the Taylor Swift thing.
Oh. Okay. Furry B Production says, blessing thoughts on Titty Boy by Lil Wayne.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Yeah, that's the new. So it's, I guess it is Titty Boy. I was going to try and correct you, but it's T-I-T-Y Boy, mm-hmm. which is a reference to 2 Chainz. That was 2 Chainz's old name.
Okay.
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, if you remember Duffel Bag Boy.
Go get your money, little duffel bag boy.
What a song.
I love that song.
But yeah, Lil Wayne just released a new project that I believe is like a precursor to the Carter 6.
Okay.
And pretty good project. Yeah. Love if you're that. A Lil Wayne fan, for sure, go listen to that.
Street Shadow says, Street Shadow became a member for one full year. Thank you, Street Shadow, for your support.
And excitement spawns from 10 plus years of content.
That's spam 591's voice, and I'm getting close to knowing who you are, motherfucker,
Spam. He's gonna
start packing.
We didn't really catch that on the microphone.
Spam, you shouldn't have done that.
No.
I'm on his YouTube page. He put up one video 2 years ago. Thinks he can start shitting here. I'll fucking get him.
Street Shadow has become a member for one full year. Says, just a note, contractors don't get severance. It sucks, but it's part of the role. Don't know what that was.
The first thing, and we know that again. All right, we know again. It was how much longer is left in these contracts, so we can talk about how that sucks no matter what.
Mm-hmm. McD Games writes in and says, "Just came in. You called this months ago, Greg. Damn, you called something, big dog."
The fact that factions probably isn't ever happening.
Oh, okay. We have one about that right now from Macho, who writes in and says, the problem is no extraction shooter has done it right, and we don't need 100 extraction shooters, but one from Naughty Dog done right would be the one, or The Division. Interesting. Escape from Tarkov seems to be the biggest game on the planet.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I was going to ask, because I'm sure one of them has done it right.
I think that was the one that set the standard there.
What makes an extraction shooter?
Extraction shooter jumping in, finding a bunch of loot, and then extracting out without dying. By, you know, means of losing your loot, essentially.
Gotcha. All right, so there's another game I played like a few years ago it's like post-apocalyptic. I don't know if I would call it an extraction shooter. I'm going to look it up.
Look it up for me. Greg, we talk extraction shooters and you...
Samuel Heaney! Oh, fuck. I spam 591?
Hunt showdown.
Sam Heaney is a freelance writer at IGN studying acting and performance throughout his education. Well, let me tell you, you better start acting in the unemployment line, shouldn't you, Samuel? Because you just called down the fucking thunder.
So yeah, Escape from Tarkov. There's Hunt Showdown, which is the one I was thinking of that I played. Let's see. Deep Rock Galactic, which I didn't realize was an extraction shooter.
Okay.
This is the game Marauders. There's Dark and Darker. Oh, the Psycho Frontier. You guys like that. Frontier, didn't that shut down? Yeah.
That shut down. That
All
shut
right,
down.
Cool. And then Zero Sievert is another one.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like an exciting genre.
I think it was a nice breath of fresh air when we looked at the Battle Royale genre taking over with Fortnite, Warzone, Apex, and that kind of being the standard. Then people started jumping on extraction shooters to get a little more of that tension, but not that constant get run over, redrop, do it all over again. I think it gave you a good feeling of tension and dying, but also not having to do the run-of-the-mill Battle Royale stuff. But, I mean, Greg, let's... Are you
he's
good?
He's doing a thing.
Yeah, you do your thing. He's, okay.
He's texting Per Schneider.
Don't worry,
right now,
everybody. Someone's going to know about Samuel.
Now, let's be real.
Up.
Bless.
Oh, my God, Samuel. Did you fuck up? Oh.
Sam, that was on you, Sam. That's I tried my best.
It's
That's
just you love
Sam.
It. You love to see bad people get bad things Jesus, to happen to them.
Sam. Oh, man. Oh, now he's calling someone too, Sam.
Sorry, Sam. I mean, you should have stayed out the chat. This is on you, Sam.
Hey, Destin Legarry from IGN. How are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm okay, but I come with bad news about an IGN employee. I hate to be the one. Oh, you're live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, too.
Hi.
You're the first contact. I'll, of course, go through the whole. I'll call everybody. I'll probably end up calling Vivek. I'll call everybody about this one, right? But a guy named Spam showed up in our chat. And said he's tried to clap back at me saying he worked at IGN and he had a bunch of typos in his like just no punctuation in what he wrote. And so then Spam over here,
yeah,
he tried to hide his identity, but I found him. All right. He's Samuel Heaney. All right. He's 26. He's a he, him, actor, writer, IGN guides. You're getting the first call because on October 31st, 2022, he quote tweeted the Marvel Snap thing you did. And he said, hey, this is a thing I wrote, and Destin Legarry read most of it aloud in a video. Working with IGN is absolutely wild. Highly recommend. I'm calling Destin to let you know you need to go back and fact check that entire thing and look for typos. Look for commas and look for periods because Samuel doesn't know how to use them. And I'm not saying blackball this person, but blackball this person. Blackball them.
I read something about Marvel Snap.
Yeah. Destin, I love you. We'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
But yeah, I think a Naughty Dog extraction shooter would be pretty fun.
You think so? You think this will be...
I love that. That was yeah, exactly. His, I love that that was Destin's takeaway. And I love that they just pretended like that just didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, the idea of an extraction shooter, as he described it to me, like, sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm surprised there aren't, like, bigger hits. Because, I mean, I know, like, fucking, like, Tarkov is huge.
Yeah, Tarkov
like,
that's,
like,
is
huge,
massive.
Huge, massive right. game. I don't Hunt Showdown.
The Division,
really popular.
The Dark Zone was essentially
Was that extraction?
Yeah, uh-huh, that was extraction.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Why haven't I gotten into this? why haven't they broken out to where, then maybe this is on me, right? Maybe this is
I
on,
think
maybe
it's
I
got, on you.
Do well, I got to play Tarkov?
You got to play Tarkov.
Would I like Tarkov? Do you think I would like Tarkov?
If you're going to go try an extraction shooter, you try the very best, and that's Tarkov, and you see if you like it or not.
Okay.
Why not?
I might try Tarkov.
You think that a Naughty Dog extraction shooter could be the one for you, though?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you think that's going to be massive?
No.
A massive success that Sony should be putting their eggs into.
I think if we're in a timeline where we didn't have to worry about successes in business,
yeah.
I would play a Naughty Dog extraction shooter. That sounds like a fun time. But it's not like my dream project from Naughty Dog. Like, there's 10 things I have on the list before I get to extraction shooter that I want from Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, I think the idea of, like, PlayStation having one of those on their roster, I think is fine. It's just, like, a matter of sell it to me. Like, make it exciting. What is the reason why this one's going to stand out compared to a Tarkov, compared to a Hunt Showdown?
Okay. Ryan writes in and says, hashtag justice for Goat Haggler. I just bought a Steam Deck.
God.
What should I play? Is this something else I don't know about?
Yeah, of course. I don't know if you guys know this.
Okay.
You know Cody Hagler and Melissa Hagler.
Of course. Great people.
Yeah, I told Melissa to dump Cody.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Okay. They're on the, they're married and they're about to have a baby. I know. And then yesterday, Goat Hagler over here tried to type that out in the chat, but his hooves kept hitting the wrong keys. Ah,
yes, okay.
So he just kept saying, Greg, tell Melissa, D-U-M-P. And then he hit enter, and then he said immediately back, D-U-M-P.
Yeah.
Fucking D-U-M-P. Idiot. So on the podcast, I just laid it all out. Oh, this man is a goat, and he's got hooves, and I don't need to listen to him.
Maybe we're getting closer to teaching horses how to read. That was one of your goals.
Well, he's, you know, like, I mean? He's de-evolving. He's de-evolving. You know
Furry
I mean?
Beam yeah. Productions in chat says, great people, great couple, great siblings.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Oh my god, we're having some fun out here today, aren't we?
Mike, just so you know, I've queued up on my Spotify. I think I'm gonna start listening to Dimension 20.
Don't forget about Taylor Swift.
I love
and
that.
Taylor Swift. And Taylor
okay.
Swift.
Okay. Yeah. Good. I encourage you to continue that. I would like you and Greg to participate in the next Dungeons and Dragons, if we ever do that, because you two were my first suggestions to the team, and they said, really? No, Mike, you have to participate.
You did a great job though.
Yeah, you know. You guys will be in it. Let's keep it going. Blessing, we have a lot.
We should and we only keep have it going. Minutes. The one thing I do want to point out is that
okay, Sam.
Samuel Heaney also has his PSN trophies hidden on PSN profiles, which you know it drives me crazy.
Good for you.
Which drives me crazy.
Good for you.
And you might be always reviewing something like you always do, Greg. I know what he could be reviewing right now, and you could have your trophies, or, you know, you could just hide those trophies.
So how do you do that, Greg? Do you lock down your whole profile like some jabronis like Sam, or do you just go one by one and open them up, open the floodgates up?
Depends on what you're doing.
How do you like to do this? You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, PlayStation has a hide this game feature, that's nice.
Because I like to go super lockdown.
I understand.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not even taking screenshots. I'm so scared.
Sure, that's fair.
You know what I
but
mean?
That's not, but
I respect the craft.
Xbox is the one who fucks that up all the time. You take a screenshot on PSN... You're fine. Yeah. It lives on your thing. Xbox, you screenshot. It's like, cool, just uploaded it for everybody. I tagged it to your Xbox profile. Is that cool?
Yeah.
I put it up everywhere.
Yeah. That's how that goes. Right? I get worried. So, yeah, I don't even do things, you know. I'm just too afraid. We have another blessing one right here. Mm-hmm. Steven writes in, says, Blessing, have you listened to Jorah Smith's new album?
Georgia Smith? No, I've not listened to any Georgia Smith.
Falling or Flying? Okay.
I should listen to Georgia Smith because I hear it come up a lot. Oh. And I've been trying to expand my R&B tastes a bit because when I listen to R&B, usually I'm listening to like 2000s R&B. And so like a lot of Usher, a lot of like Neo, a lot of Mario.
Yeah.
And like if I'm listening to something modern, right, I'm listening to a lot of SZA, but I want to find more modern R&B. SZA. Yeah.
Michael M. Costa writes in for Greg. Is the future of Apple Arcade bright or dim?
Wow, what a great question.
That is a fun question. I mean,
so there's a million different ways to slice it, and I appreciate this question. I like it. You know, we talked a lot about the Capcom games, the full games coming to iPhone, right?
Yeah.
That's a big move. And if Apple is going to commit to that and do that and then eventually bring that into Apple Arcade, I think that makes it a brighter future.
Okay. Mm.
There's two problems, and the first one is a Greg problem, is that I am not keeping up with Apple Arcade success failures or any numbers they've put out. So I don't know. I know they are still supporting it because I still get emails about it. But I don't know what they're doing. My thing with it is that Apple is very much a Google to me. And Apple Arcade could be very much a Stadia to me. Where, all right, cool, that's going. And then one day it's gone. Didn't they get rid of a bunch of the team or a lot of the team changed over or whatever? Like, I don't even... Again, like Apple's this weird kind of void where occasionally I feel like you get information out of it. And I shouldn't even say that. I guess I get information out of it occasionally because I'm not that guy. Mm. I'm not going to The Verge every day and reading about it. I'm not looking at the Apple news sites like I am video game news sites. So with it being blind to me, it has been an afterthought that I have not thought about since it launched with Grindstone. And Grindstone was a great game.
Yeah.
So I could see it disappearing tomorrow. I could see it staying what it is right now. And I could see it if they actually were like, cool, we're firmly committed to getting full-fledged video games on our platform. So we will double down and that it would be a good thing. Put it in there.
Love that.
IMO.
There's so many super chats. It's nice. People are excited to have you back, Greg. And they love seeing you, Bless.
Of course they do.
Let's get through a couple of rapid fire ones before I let you guys go. And we move on to today's stream. DJ Kenter says, did y'all see the footage from inside the Vegas Sphere? I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I saw it. Looks cool. What a concert in there, right?
What musical acts would you want to be there? Because I'll tell you what, U2's not the one.
Kendrick Lamar. I went to Kendrick Lamar's last tour, and what he puts into the stage production, I think he would utilize that sphere in an incredible way. So that'd be my answer.
Michael writes in and says, any of you interested in El Paso elsewhere?
Yes. I have it downloaded. I've not gotten to it because of review season, but like I really want to play it. It looks really cool.
Hello?
Hello, this is game. Paul Tassi from Forbes.
It is, yes.
This is Greg Miller from Kind of Funny. It's a pleasure to talk to you on a phone right now. You're live on Twitch and YouTube over here.
That's sick.
Oh, great.
I have some bad news for you, all right? And there's not much you can do about this, but a person named Spam came after me in the chat today, all right? He missed a period and he missed a comma, right? Just terrible punctuation out there. And then he outed himself as working at IGN on this, right? So I've been going through his Twitter profile, calling everybody he's interacted with or whatever. And so I already called Destin Legarry because he wrote something for Destin. But it turns out on September 28th, he retweeted one of your tweets.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I know. And so this is the kind of caliber of person your content's getting. I need to put that out there, people. All right.
I apologize on his behalf.
I appreciate that. Isn't that easy, Spam 591? You could have just apologized. But instead, I got to go one by one on your tweets and call everybody. I thank you, Paul. You do great work at Forbes. We will talk to you soon.
Appreciate it. Good luck.
All right. Bye. I'm going to be at this all day.
Yo, that was cool. Paul Tassi's the dude. That's cool.
He has a lot of people on here that he's been interacting with. So there's a lot of people for me to call and spread the word about.
At this point, no,
okay,
Greg.
Well, live to die.
He didn't retweet Barack Obama at some point. like,
don't stream 1989.
Hey, Greg, this is Barrett.
Barrett Courtney from Kind of Funny. It's Greg.
Shit.
You're on Kind of Funny.
You're on
it,
Barrett. You're on
for
list.
You. On September 21st, Samuel Heaney retweeted about this. You were quote tweeting Stephen Totello. So I'm just going down the list right now and letting everybody know.
Yep.
All right, bye.
Okay, well, that is where we're going to end today's post show.
I want to stop in for real. We've had a lot of fun.
Yeah,
Samuel,
we had a
thank
great time.
You for being a good sport. Uh-huh. This is great, obviously. I warned Destin ahead of time. I'm calling you for a dumb bit. Don't worry.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
this
uh-huh.
is fantastic. This was a lot of fun.
Paul
Samuel,
Tassi
you're
didn't
great.
Get any warning.
No, Paul did. Paul did. I gave him warning, too.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on today's Kind of Funny Games Daily Post Show. We have so many post show chats that we'll get into tomorrow with these two, but right now, we're going to switch on over to the afternoon stream with me and Tim opening up some Pokemon cards. We're not going anywhere. We're staying on the desk. We're opening up the brand new Scarlet and Violet 151 set. So we'll see you all there. Say goodbye to your Games Daily show host. We'll see you back here tomorrow for that. If you're watching live on YouTube and Twitch, we'll see you in a minute.